only 2 dozen people. That's all I needed to reach. And I would launch my business.
Wow.
And so I did that and got through to, I got through to all of them. Right. So that's pretty crazy. I spent about $100 on this campaign and it launched my business. It was worth millions of dollars. So I've never computed the ROI on that campaign.
Right.
You asked about ROI on contact campaigns, and they can get really, really high. So I would say typically it's at least in the thousands of percent, but the record is 69,500,000% ROI.
Welcome everyone to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Baubert Marketing, LLC. If you love to learn, be inspired, and succeed, we're here to speak and teach. I'm your host, Ben Albert. I believe if you're not living, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're withering. And if you're not engaged, we can turn this off right now. Because we here at LST are lifelong learners. And listen, I'm not your guru. I'm an ordinary guy on a journey to learn from the experts. My goal is to host each conversation with a beginner's mindset, learn, and let the experts speak and teach their truths. Join us! Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe. This episode is brought to you completely free. Get some stake in the game here. My fee for the show only takes a few moments. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Bonus points. Please leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right, let's get started. I am here with Stu Hynek. Stu, what's up? How are you today?
Oh man, I'm glad to be here with you. This is exciting.
I'm exciting. I'm so excited. I'm going to go into the bio in a second just so people can get, you know, some of the credentials. But I want to say as a testimonial right off the bat, Stu's book, How to Get a Meeting with Anyone, his most famous book, brother, I'd say it's probably top five, if not top 10 sales and marketing books that I've ever read. And Stu didn't know I was going to say this. Stu, he didn't pay me to do this. But, you know, I come from a sales background. Selling as a marketing executive, basically a sales executive, and now as a business owner owning a marketing company, and we'll get into this, I use Stu's book on a daily basis to blend sales and marketing. And well, shoot, let's do the bio and then let's just dive right in. So Stu, best-selling business author, How to Get a Meeting with Anyone, Hall of Fame nominated marketer, one of the Wall Street Journal cartoonists. He's the founder of cartoonist.org. 2016, launched How to Get a Meeting with Anyone, the book, introducing everybody to a new term no one had ever really heard of, is contact marketing. And Stu, people get what, like hundreds, if not thousands of percent ROI on their content marketing efforts? It's insane, right?
Yeah, well, actually, contact marketing. But yes,
did I just say content marketing?
Yeah, but that's okay.
I'm going to blame the cold medicine today.
You know why? Because everyone's going to hear it as content marketing, and then nope, it's contact marketing.
Correct.
But yeah. So, you know, you've been a marketer for a long time. I've been a marketer for a long time. I started in direct mail, and you know, like sending things through the mail. Actually, not these big things, but just sending mailings through the mail for magazine publishers. And, and you know, when I first started, all the pundits of direct marketing were saying, you can't get they were saying a couple of things, don't use humor, it doesn't work, which was wrong. And then also, they were saying that 100% response rates are impossible. Mm-hmm. Well, I was using two forms of direct marketing, I guess. I didn't realize that at the time, but one of them was I was creating all these mailings, you know, these number 10 envelopes were double panel postcards, and they had a cartoon on it and the cartoon was written. So the gag was laser image so that we had data insertion points for first and last name. They were always about the recipient, and they were getting setting all kinds of records. It was crazy. But the other form of direct mail I was sending was these big devices to get a hold of people. Mm-hmm. So very small campaigns. Like, you know, just to like the campaign, my first contact campaign went to just two dozen people. They were VPs of access, but of circulation or consumer marketing for the big print-based media companies like Time Inc. and Condé Nast and the Wall Street Journal, Forbes, et cetera, a lot of them. And not a lot of them, only two dozen people. That's all I needed to reach, and I would launch my business.
Wow.
And so I did that and got through to all of them. Right. So that's pretty crazy. I spent about $100 on this campaign and it launched my business. It was worth millions of dollars. So I've never computed the ROI on that campaign.
Right. But
you asked about ROI on contact campaigns, and they can get really, really high. So I would say typically it's at least in the thousands of percent, but the record is 69,500,000% ROI. I've never heard of any other marketing that does anything like this. So yeah, crazy numbers.
That is unbelievable. And in a moment, I actually queue it up. I want to see, you said you had a video of an example of a contact campaign. So we'll watch that in a moment. And in a few moments, we need to spend some time talking about how to grow your business like a weed, because that's the new book that's coming out in May. So we're going to have two conversations here. We're going to have the revolutionary book, How to Get a Meeting with Anyone. Let's watch what one of these contact campaigns look like. I know you had a video queued up for us.
Sure. And let's see. Actually, before I do that, I just wanted to just
please.
I gotta give it a little bit of a setup. So,
please.
So you know, the thing is, I've been sending cartoons around my whole career. You can see some of them up on the wall behind me, but I've been sending them around, and I'll show you some examples of how I send them around. Actually, you're gonna see one in the video here in just a moment. But the thing is, when I send these things around, I'm never there to see, well, what happens? You know, like what's the actual reaction as it's happening in real time? I'm never around to see that because I'm sending it somewhere else to someone else. So so I sent one of these contact devices to Billie Jean, the marketing Instagram influencer. And I, you know, I wanted to just reach out to him and connect with him and see if maybe we can collaborate, you know, a little bit. So his assistant got this and she said, you know what, I think I better film this as an unboxing video.
Yes.
So she filmed her reaction. I just love her for it because as you're about to see, it's just, she did. I couldn't have hired someone to have a better reaction to this. So here it is.
I usually wait till you get here, Bill, to show your packages, but this one's pretty cool. And I'm too anxious to wait and show you. So here's the reveal. If I can get the cap off. Read how awesome this is. The Tale of the Hired Gun. I ever tell you fellas the story of the Billy Kid? Yep, sure did. How about Wild Bill Jean? You mean the marketing whiz from San Diego? At least 100 times before. Yep, you can say that again. Look at the back. I'm kind of in love with this guy. Mad respect.
Now, I have to remind you, that's his assistant. You know, the executive assistants that we're all saying, oh my God, how do we get around the executive assistant?
Right.
But that was his executive assistant. And she's saying, by the end, she's saying, I'm kind of falling in love with this guy. Wow. That's my outreach to say, can we talk? Can we meet? So that's,
you
that's
just the made essence a best friend.
Of, that's the essence of contact marketing right there. And I just think that's amazing. I mean, to have that kind of an effect when we're trying to say, I mean, we're reaching out and saying, hey, Ben, I'd like to, could we connect somehow? I'd love to have a conversation with you. I mean, how many times does that kind of a request just go unanswered?
Mm-hmm. Right?
But, and so that's really the whole aim of contact marketing, in my mind anyway, is we want to send or do something, but basically send something and reach out to someone in such a way that they respond. We want them to sing, wow, love the way you think. Because if they've done that, or if we've created that kind of a reaction in our outreach, then we're not having cold calls. Mm-hmm. You know, these people are, they're dying to talk to us. So that might be a stretch, but I can tell you that when I reached out to Billy and to his assistant, they were anxious to talk. And that's exactly what we want happening. And I know you told me before we started the interview that you've been using contact marketing as well. And I don't know what, I'm dying to hear what you've been doing and what the reactions have been.
Let's go there in two moments. I want to say quick so a lot of people listen to the audio. And first off, pause the audio, go to the show notes. A link to the video will be in the show notes. So we'll get into that in 2 seconds. For anyone who's listening to the audio and didn't see the video, what was just unboxed? Because it's a masterpiece of a gift. Let's talk about exactly what you're gifting here.
Sure. Well, so it's a cartoon. It's a multi-panel cartoon. So it's four panels of a cartoon, and like you might see in the newspaper. And so the captioning is done in those bubbles, in those quote bubbles. So all the captioning is done in my handwriting. And so in the first panel, it's a bunch of cowboys sitting around a campfire at night. And one of them saying, "I ever tell you fellas a story, Billy Kid?" "Yep, sure did." And then the second panel, and I love being able to do this, it's a close up of one of the cowboys, of the guy that's talking actually. And he's saying, like, if I was sending this to you, Ben, he'd be saying, "How about Wild Ben Albert?" And I love being able to call you Wild Ben Albert. Mm-hmm. That's fun in and of itself.
Was this custom done specifically for him?
Yep.
Wow. So yep. Go on.
And so then the next, the third panel, it's out to one of the other cowboys responding, and he's saying, "You mean the marketing whiz from Buffalo?" And again, if I'm sending it to you, that's mm-hmm. what it was, the marketing was from Buffalo. And then finally, back to the wide shot of all of them sitting around the campfire again. And one of them saying at least 100 times before. Another one says, "Yep." Another one says, "Sure did." So they're all just hanging out talking about Wild Ben Albert. and that's why if your assistant got that, I don't know if you have an assistant, but if your assistant got that, she'd be going, "Hey, Ben, you got to see this." Right? I mean, that's what she was doing. That's why she was filming it.
She's your best friend now. And I'm just impressed, like the quality of, was that wood? Is that big board?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I should describe that too. So the cartoon is produced on, it's a form of foam core. It's half inch form of foam core. I mean, it's called Gator board. It's really tough stuff. And then it's a white, you know, foam core. So there's foam in the middle of it, and then white paper on either side, or substrate. I'm not even sure if that's paper, but and by the way, on the back there's all the messaging, like, "Hey Billy, I want to connect with you," and you know. But I made it look pretty funky as well, with these arrows and little cartoon doodles and so on. But I'm explaining to him, "Hey Billy, Wild Billy, I wanted to connect with you because I think, you know, I think we should be collaborating. And who wouldn't want to collaborate with this person sending this thing to you? I mean, like, it's like an ambush, you know."
Yeah. So,
but that's packaged in a really nice pine box with a sliding lid, and the lid is laser etched with my cartoonist signature. So it's a really sharp looking package.
It's beautiful. It looks great, Stu. And why wouldn't someone want to chat with you at it? It's more, it ambush almost seems like it's aggressive. It's very welcoming. It's, "I know you. I've been following you. This is something I created personal for you, that it's got your name, your location. It's for you from me. I know you don't even know me yet, but wow." I mean, it talk about giving value well before you pick up the phone. "Hey, cold call. Hey, I have something that I want to steal from you. I want to take your time away." This is like, "You don't even know me, but I'm going to give you a tremendous amount of value without you even asking." I love it. It's great.
I think that's a great way to start any relationship, and certainly a great way to open conversations. And God, if you think about it, I mean, this is all about getting meetings and making mm-hmm. connections. And so it's such a basic thing in life, right? Because if you can't get meetings, nothing's going to happen in your life. Nothing. So you might think, well, getting meetings is nice, but actually it's, you have to get meetings. You have to connect with people or absolutely nothing will happen in your life. So it's actually a really critical thing.
It is critical. And I'll tell you a little bit about what I do. And it's not specifically contact marketing, but well, you can tell me, I'm just curious as your opinion as a whole. So I started my business as a solopreneur just over a year ago. So I understand the industry, I understand sales, but I have a not compete and zero business connections because I used to sell to Texas, California, Wisconsin. Most of my business was in Wisconsin, Minnesota. Now I'm just this Rochester, New York, Western New York kid with zero business connections that's been on the phone basically and giving virtual presentations forever and doesn't even, I'm from Rochester, right, Stu? But I don't know anybody in Rochester that's a good connection. And where do you, I can't start with the Stus. I mean, maybe I could, but I want to get a little bit of momentum. So what I did is I started a podcast because my thought was let's ultimately give value first. Let's reach out to them saying, hey, I am all ears. You're a rock star. I love this, this, and this about you. Let me bring you on my show. Now, internally, I get to learn so much from these brilliant people that are already doing what I want to do, but I'm there just to promote them, highlight them. And what I would do is for everyone is I have a freelancer who does these digital cartoons. It's very different than yours, but cartoon headshots. So I'd have a cartoon headshot done. I would use that for a custom cover art. I would edify them and provide introductions the moment that the episode went live. And my whole process was give tremendous value first. And then after I give this value, ask for nominations for the show, ask for recommendations, and not really sell at all. Like, don't hard close anyone or ask them to do business. Just start planting as many seeds as possible with people that are more influential in my community. I hear the dog in the background. People that are more influential in my community than myself, and do it through these cartoons, do it by being different, be the podcasting guy. And nowadays, with Learn, Speak, Teach, I'm trying to get on bigger and bigger guests. And part of how I do that is doing everything I just said before I ever ask them to be on the show. So for example, Jim John Rulin wrote Giftology.
John
Rulin wrote Giftology. Maybe he'll listen to this and come on the show. He hasn't responded yet, but I read his book. And then after reading his book, I created a cartoon. I created a video with a quote of, you know, my favorite line from the book. And I'm just like, here, man, I want you to have this. And that's really it. And I know it's not, tell me, is that contact marketing? We haven't really defined contact marketing, but give me some general thoughts on what I'm doing here, because Stu, I fell forward. I stumbled upon this. I read your book 6 months ago and I'm like knocking myself on the head. I should have started 5 years ago, and anyone listening to this should buy the book right now. Listen, message me. I'll buy you the book for Christmas. Buy the book right now, because if I had started this 10 years ago, who knows? But I'm rambling, brother. Tell me your thoughts.
Hey, first of all, thank you for buying the book. And if you're going to buy it as Christmas gifts, cool. Thank you.
No, I absolutely will. I absolutely will. Anyone listening, it's on me.
Okay, cool. You're very generous. Well, I love it. Now, here's the thing. It's a combination of both what you're doing, the podcast, is a great contact device. I know you know that because you're experiencing it. Maybe not with John Rulin yet, but we'll have to talk to him.
But I called him Jim Rulin, so maybe I don't deserve it.
Oh, that's good. If you called him Jim, then he'll be waiting for you to get the name right. I don't know. But I don't think, I think you're just maybe misremembering it now, but I'm sure you got it right.
Right.
John should be on your show. And he's brilliant. He's amazing. But the thing is, so you're doing content. I mean, that's what this is. This is all content. Mm-hmm. But it's also contact marketing, because here's what contact marketing is. They're micro-focused campaigns designed to help you create connection or contact with ultra important prospects. Now, I don't know if I'm one. I don't know if John is one. But you'll also reach out to people in Rochester. And by the way, is it Rochester, Minnesota, or New York?
Rochester, New York.
Okay, and I said Buffalo earlier.
which close. Is it's my neighbor. So I
but so you know, you probably have noticed though that you're able to, when you are, you're offering value. That's what you're doing. It's like, I'd love to have you come on my show and tell your story. And a lot of people would like to do that. So that's a great way to open up contact. I think that's just absolutely fantastic. And when we're done, I'll be surprised if you don't say, hey, Stu, by the way, can we talk about my services a little bit? Or do you know anybody I like? We should do that, right? That should happen at the end of these interviews, because it opens doors, particularly if you're interviewing someone who should be one of your new clients. Perfect opportunity thereafter to say, hey, by the way, if we were going to do this, who would I talk to in your organization? And could you introduce me? I mean, it's just such a natural thing. So this makes a lot of sense. I have clients who also produce, a lot of people produce podcasts at this point too. And they're doing really interesting things with podcasts and gifts based on the podcast, or maybe being on the podcast. Someone sent me this amazing Turkish dessert. It's a fresh dessert. Had to send it from New York. I'm on Whidbey Island in a little bit north of Seattle, and so it had to be shipped and kept cold. And it was like, okay, good, you know, we got it. We got it in time, and it was a delicious dessert. Let's see, Douglas. Why can I not remember his name? The Marketing Artillery, the Marketing Book Podcast.
Okay.
Oh, Burdett. He sends this really, so because he has this military theme, he sends a grenade, a sort of foam grenade, which is a stress reliever, like a stress ball, and this whole package. And so those are great. They're a great entree into creating much more of a conversation and a relationship. And that's great. So you can get referrals from these people. You might get some of them as clients, and gosh, it opens up the right kinds of conversations in ways that don't start with, hey, do you have a few seconds? Could I just talk to you for a second real quickly? And have them say, look, you're, okay, you got a second, right? That's over. And so, I mean, like, it's not a cold call. Mm-hmm. So I think that what you're doing is right on the money. And I think you'll find lots of different permutations. I mean, for example, I don't know if you send Christmas cards around, but when we're done, I would love to send you a Christmas card generator. So it'll have one of my cartoons. You'll be able to, it's just a PDF that you can edit and then print from your desktop PC on your laser printer. But you can turn that into cards, and they're pretty cool cards. So I'm reaching to grab one of these right now.
Great.
You'll be able to print this card. And the cartoon, I don't know if that's in focus. We've had trouble with focus, but he's talking to him. His wife is looking around. They're in an ice hotel.
Yeah.
And the guy's saying, my wife here thinks these ice hotels are the perfect place for a Ben Albert sighting.
Okay.
I keep telling her she's just as likely to spot Santa Claus. So I don't know if you look all the way down. If you look all the way down the bar, there he is, popping his head out. I love the whole composition of this one.
Yeah.
So anyway, but you can personalize this and send it out, and I think people will be kind of thrilled with that. I mean, it's like the video that I showed you. They'll be kind of thrilled with this Christmas card. So I'm happy to send you that. You might want to play with more tools to extend the conversation further, and just have them say, "Man, this guy Ben, this guy's amazing. Hey, would you do some of that for us? How do we do some of this?" So you just open those conversations. I think you're doing a great job.
Now, people are probably wondering, I have 50 clients, I have 100 clients, or I have 200 people on my prospect list. Why would I send them all a Christmas card? I mean, I hope my listeners don't have this attitude, but why does it matter when their birthday is? Or what's the ROI on spending $10,000, you know, on a contact campaign? Well, why would I do this? What is the benefit of these touch points? What have you found is the true benefit?
Well, I'd be amazed if someone was actually saying that. what we're saying again is, if you can't connect with people, like if you're connecting with people very easily, then you don't have to do this. But if you're finding, like most of us are, that, and I've I'm, you know, I can call up and say, hi, I'm one of the Wall Street Journal cartoonists. People are still going to say, yeah, what do you want? Right. You know what I mean? So if you're getting meetings easily and those meetings are leading to sales, man, you've got it made. You don't need to do this. But if you're like the rest of us and you need to get meetings, you need to get meetings with that. You said if it was 100 or maybe 200 prime prospects, these are the ones that can, particularly if these are the kinds of prospects that can change our accounts, that can change the scale of everything. Well, then you better be investing something into connecting with them and having the right kinds of conversations so that they lead to business, I should say. So, yeah, that's why you need to do it. Otherwise, you can be, that would be amazing to hear someone say that, because they'd be saying, well, how's that working for you? Like, if you can't get meetings, what are you doing? Why are you selling? How much are you selling? And would you like that to go up? How long would you like to wait for that to change? And the way that you change that is you get connected. You get you can do it by referrals. You can do it by introducing yourself. And if you're going to introduce yourself, I would recommend you do something like this so that they're saying, well, not only did I just meet someone, but wow, I met someone who's just fantastic. Really, really good. They're so fascinating. Let me tell you, like they'd go home and talk to their spouses or girlfriends and boyfriends or whoever they are, mm-hmm. and say, oh my God, I got to tell you about this person I met today. I mean, that's, you want to be one of those people. Right. And so if you do that, that just pays a lot of dividends. It's kind of hard to explain beyond that. If that doesn't make sense to you, then maybe you shouldn't be selling. I don't know.
Well, here's the thing, anyone who's revenue driven needs to be listening to this, whether they're a salesperson, a business owner, an entrepreneur, anyone who helps bring revenue into their business or a business they work for. You know, this is marketing, but it is also sales. And I think one of the big misconceptions is there's a lot of, need to make 200 calls a day. There's plenty of prospects. You just need to, spray and pray as make as many phone calls as possible. And you know what? The truth is, Stu, if you make enough phone calls and you're refined in your approach and you have good vocal tonality, that will work, but only to a certain extent. And are you going to get referrals and recommendations? Are you going to build a book of business? Are you selling a product that's ethical and worthy? Like, how far are you going to grow with that approach? And of course, that's an old school mentality, but you're taking that marketing mentality of building a brand and staying front of mind and giving value without expectation, these marketing, but you're infusing it for a salesperson to learn how to market without having to know pay-per-click, SEO, and all these things. This is literally like sales on steroids, because you're creating a one-on-one connection, right, Stu? Like, isn't that the point, to create a one-on-one connection rather than a one in 10,000?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not for everybody. This isn't mass marketing at all. This is for the handful of, and I say relative. I mean, it could be 10, it could be 100, or for a company, it could be, I don't know, 1,000 accounts that they just want to get as clients. But, it kind of reminds me of a story, if I may share this.
Please, yeah.
Because, a lot of people have read the book, or actually both of the books, How to Get a Meeting with Anyone and Then Get the Meeting, the follow-on. And I've heard from them, and they're saying, I bought your book and I made $300,000. Or I bought your book and I founded a company. And in fact, that did happen. And one of those companies just raised a $48 million Series B financing based on what they pulled out of the book. That should have been my, anyway. No, actually, I love it. I think that's Reach Desk, and I think that's just fantastic. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And but one of the people that I heard from was Dom Steinman, and Dom reached out because he wanted to share his story about, a year before, he was just graduating from college. He didn't know what he wanted to do, but he was being recruited by this late stage startup in Silicon Valley to be an SDR, a sales development rep. And he said, this is pretty cool. And then he took the job, and their requirement was that their KPI, in other words, everyone in your group has to make 100 phone calls a day, at least 100 phone calls a day to this list of prospects or accounts that we want to break through to. And what he discovered was that this was just a slog. I mean, everyone was making these dials And no, like if they got one conversation a day, they were lucky. So, so he was lamenting. He hated it. So he was lamenting all this to a friend one night at dinner. And the friend said, "You got to buy this book." And he recommended my book, How to Get a Meeting with Anyone. And they talked about it. And so Dom did that. And he said, "Okay, all right, I get it. You know what? This is really cool. I got it." So what I'm going to do is, what he wanted to do was do a, what I would call a deep profile, sorry, deep personalization campaign. So profile scrapes to find out something very personal, very, very unique about the people that he's reaching out to, and fashioning maybe a gift or some other approach based on what it is that these people are really interested in. So that's what he decided to do. I'm going to do that. I'm going to keep up with the KPI. I'm still going to make 100 phone calls a day, but I'm going to start concentrating on who among these people are my just best clients, like, or not best clients, but best prospects. If I could get them, things would happen. They would change. So the first one, he did a deep dive, found out from his profile scrape that the guy was really interested in cooking and technology and family. So he took two out of three, cooking and technology. And he had an apron made up with an Arthur C. Clarke quote embroidered onto the apron. "Technology sufficiently advanced will appear as magic." And so he sent this thing to the guy. The guy called him back immediately. This is someone no one had been able to reach from his company, had been able to reach. Mm-hmm. This guy called him right back. So I got the apron. This is so cool. What did you want to talk to me about? Boom. He gets a six-figure deal. And he's going, okay, this is working. This is cool. And he keeps doing it. His cohorts start to, they're noticing something's happening. They're saying, "Hey, Don, what are you doing? And could you teach us?" "Yeah, sure. Of course I'll teach you." So one of the first instances, he's working with one of his colleagues. And the colleague says, "Okay, here's a guy. No one's been able to reach this guy either, but he'd be huge for us." And so I said, "Okay." Dom said, "Okay, let's figure out what's this guy really interested in. What's he?" I think what they discovered was the guy was really interested in falconry. So they went to a falconry site and they asked the owner. They actually called the owner and said, "Okay, we want to send a gift to someone who's really interested in falconry. What do we send? What's an ideal gift?" Well, falconers use these gloves, these really ornate, you know. Just a single glove. Thankfully, you don't have to buy a pair of them. So just one. But he said, "Buy this glove. It's $100. So really ornate, beautiful glove. So they did that. They bought the glove and had it sent directly to the prospect. But meanwhile, they downloaded the image of it from the site and emailed him right away and said, "Hey, I'm sending this glove. I just got this glove for you. I know you're really interested in falconry. Mm-hmm. I'm sending you this glove. And, you know, I'm doing it because I'd really like to connect with you and talk to you a little bit about what we do." The guy wrote back immediately. Now, by the way, no one had been able to get this guy to respond at all. But suddenly he responded right away. And he said, "Hey, listen, that's really cool. Thank you. But I haven't been responding because I'm really not a prospect for what you do. But really, thank you so much. I really appreciate it." Well, then a few days later, the glove arrives. And what do you think happened? The guy gets right back in touch and he says, "Oh my God, I got the glove. This thing's so cool. I love this thing. Listen, remember I told you I wasn't a prospect? Well, I'm not, but I know of three other CIOs who I'm going to introduce you to who are in the market for what you're selling right now." So he made those referrals and they started another six-figure deal ensued from that one. And pretty soon, management, but they're saying, "What's going on down there? What happened?" Pardon me. "Well, what's going on down there? What happened?" Yeah. And you know, let me just take a sip.
Please.
"But what's going on?" And they are like, "Who? What are you doing differently?" Yeah. And they all pointed to Dom. And they said, "Look, Dom helped us do this thing. I don't know if they talked about my book. It's okay. But Dom has been helping us do this. This is what we've been doing. And you know, we'll be talking about weeds in a moment, in a little while." And what they were doing was improving their process. Now, management, they were doing it, you know, from the ground up. And that's really, really important, really valuable to anybody who owns and is running a business. So they were very impressed with this. And they ended up promoting Dom to sales manager. So, and that was right about the time when the company was sold to, I think, to Cisco for $4.7 billion. Wow. So in the span of a year, because Dom used contact marketing to change how he was reaching out to their and selling to new accounts. Don became the sales manager of a multinational company, $4.7 billion multinational company, a year out of school. That's what contact marketing did for him.
Oh, so I want to talk about weeds, but before we transition, a quick brainstorm. How do I use contact marketing? Is there a way that I can go online and get a list of examples, or obviously by the book? What are some quick, easy, like if I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to utilize this, what are the most common ways of using contact marketing?
Well, one, a couple of things I would suggest. One is I have a course and I would love to have people come and take it, of course. But
yes.
So that's at howtogetameeting.com. And there I have people come through a 6-week course and they review a lot of what's in the books. I mean, that's a lot of the video content, but we also meet every week for a Zoom group coaching session. And these things are a blast. That's probably where all the value is. So everybody's required to create their own contact campaign and test it and report the results during the 6 weeks of the course. So, and we, people keep coming back, like people don't want to leave. And I'm just like, sure, just stick around. It doesn't matter. I'm going to be on the call anyway. So we've had people use their student project. One of them used his student project to produce a campaign using videos from cameo.com. And he ended up setting up, well, not just reaching, but setting up, actually, it's even beyond that. So setting up an appointment with Brian Moynihan, the CEO of Bank of America, plus I guess about nine or 10 other members of the C-suite. And I think B of A is now a client. That was his student project. That's pretty cool. And of course, we're all there to say, wow, yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Tell us exactly how you did it. And he shares it. And that's pretty cool. So we sort of reinforce each other in the video, the Zoom sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. But in terms of your outreach, I mean, I like what you're doing now.
Not me personally, but any salesperson, business owner, entrepreneur that is just trying to break through that barrier. Is there,
So then in that case, I can't recommend the course highly enough because, or just reading the books.
Right.
I have two books out on getting meetings. So definitely that's the cheaper way to do it, to buy the books. But if you want to spend some coaching time with me and fellow students and go through the process of creating, producing and testing a campaign, that's a great way to get started. I think one of the easiest things you can do is do something. I don't know if it's, well, let's say it's easy because you don't have to create a formal campaign, is to do exactly what I described Dom doing, which is to do these deep dives, these deep profile scrapes to find out personal, interests and things that people are doing and saying, and then coming up with something that relates directly to it. So it could be a gift or could be something else about what they're doing, but to come up with fashion something, some kind of device to reach out with that speaks to what it is that these people love to do. If you're going to do a more formal campaign, we've been talking about using cartoons and I'd love to show you what one of my I use big boards. These are
right.
I remember I said at the very beginning I sent a cartoon out and I reached out to all these to the 24 people in the publishing industry. Well, I reached out with an 8x10 print of a cartoon. It was personalized about each recipient or with each recipient's name. And it went with a note that said, hey, this is the device we just used to beat the controls for Rolling Stone and Bon Appetit. I just did tests with the two of them and we beat their controls. It's amazing.
Wow.
So this is the device I just used to set new records for Rolling Stone and Bon Appetit. I think we should put this to the test for your titles. And that campaign, well, again, 24 people roughly, cost me $100. I reached every one of them talked with. I mean, everyone said, hey, this is pretty cool. So it was 100% response rate, essentially.
100%.
Then all of them agreed to meet. It was also 100% meeting rate. And then all of them became clients. So it was also 100% conversion rate. and that, again, came, and that launched my business. It was worth millions of dollars, and it came from a campaign that cost me $100. So that has morphed a bit, and I'd love to show you what that looks like. I'll just to show you what my contact device looks like, and I'll show you a couple more too. Cool. It's not just about cartoons, but
please do. And as Stu grabs this, guys, I'm going to say it one more time. The first 10 people to message me saying, I can't afford it, I want the book, How to Get a Meeting with Anyone, I'll buy it. Stu didn't ask me to do this. I want to pay it forward. I will purchase the first 10 books. The rest, you guys are on your own. But I also put it on the show notes because ultimately there's the course and the new book. Stu's got something in front of us here. So I'm going to pass it over to you.
Cool. Well, this is what I call a big board. So this is what the 8x10 print grew into.
Yeah.
So it's a piece of gator board, again, quarter inch gator board, and it's rectangular, and it's got a cartoon. One of my cartoons. I think you mentioned it at the beginning, but I'm also one of the Wall Street Journal cartoonists. So I've got chops for cartooning, and so here's a cartoon. It's about the recipient. And then on the back, branding, person's name and address, and social proof down here, but a message from me or from the sender to the recipient explaining who they are, why they want to meet, the next steps. And then that gets shipped in packaging that looks like this. So it's this big corrugated packaging with all this cartoon art. It looks like something's coming out of a cartoon art gallery.
Yeah.
And then inside are stones that protect the big board. And so that's what I said. But I said that I would show you some others. So here's one that's kind of neat. I love this little thing. Here's a
what is
coffee
that?
Spill. Got to get it at the right angle. But here's a coffee spill. So, you know, it's a, I'm going to describe it so that if you're listening but not viewing it, it's a paper cup, and it looks for all the world, unless this, like, it's just hanging in the air. But if it was on the table, it would look for all the world like, oh shoot, I just spilled my coffee. Like, it looks all, it's ultra realistic.
Yeah.
And so my client, this is from one of my clients, so they had the cup printed with their logo and contact details. So this was actually, he did this just before COVID hit. And the idea behind this was that it was a drop-by device or leave-behind device. So he would stop by somebody's office and say, hey, listen, I, you know, not their office, but actually the front desk. So he'd say, hey, is so-and-so in? Who's asking? You know, well, I'm Bruce. And okay, does he know you, Bruce? Well, no, he doesn't. But I'm, you know, so it's one of those things where you know that the receptionist is going to say, are you kidding me? Right. You're not getting in. So, and that's okay, because it plays right into this plan. So Bruce would then pull that thing out. I mean, the coffee spill out. And say, that's okay, I just want to leave this behind. And inside it would have a card, you know, a little note card saying, hey, I'll just stop by in hopes of meeting you, but maybe we can have a cup of coffee sometime on Zoom, right? And maybe there's even a gift card from Starbucks inside. So it's a nice little gift to leave behind. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, we're always shooting for doing something that causes people to just be astonished. I mean, we just want them to say, oh my God, wow. Like, I don't know that the receptionist will say, I love the way you think, but the receptionist will surely say, geez, you know what? He or she's got to see this. Hang on a second. Let me see if they're available. So suddenly everything changes. And so that, I think these coffee spills are really cool. They're a great contact device. If you're going to send something out through the mail, I think that's pretty cool. By the way, sending something out through the mail, and you mentioned this expression, old school, and I got to address that, because some people on LinkedIn, they say, yeah, but sending something physical is old school. And I'm thinking, are you dumb? You dumbass. Are you kidding me? Use what works. Use uncrowded channels. Right now, sending something through the mail is an uncrowded channel.
Hmm.
Well, okay, people are getting gifts at the moment. You know, they're buying their gifts, and so lots coming through the mail system at the moment. But sending something physical is not what people are used to getting right now. Sending someone a card with a handwritten note is not what people are used to getting right now. So how do you think you're going to stand out if you don't send something or do something that that stands out. I mean, like if all you're going to do is connect on LinkedIn or I don't know, send an email, do you think you're standing out? Because you're not. I mean, that just doesn't stand out. If you want to connect with people, stand out. So disabuse yourself if you're thinking of anything along the lines of, oh yeah, but sending something through the mail or FedEx, whatever, sending something physical is old school. That's just stupid. Use what works.
Be
pragmatic and use what works. And part of that pragmatism is use channels that are not crowded, for God's sake, you know, and make an impression. Like, what kind of an impression do you think we're making when we connect with someone on LinkedIn? I mean, I connect with people all the time. I don't, it's hard to remember who I connected with, and, you know, a few minutes ago, because maybe I'm connecting with 10 at a time.
Right.
You know, so use the things that will cause you to stand out. That's the point.
Yeah, stand out. And here's the thing that I've learned, and I know this, but you're like just redefining it and putting an exclamation point, that I don't want to just send flowers with a business card, or I don't want to just send cookies. Do something different. Do some research. Stalk their profile for 10 minutes and get to know something unique about them, and then tailor your campaign around them. And yeah, the it's not a crowded channel these days. Everyone's virtual. Sometimes we got to go back to the basics and whatever we can do to stand out. This is good stuff. See, here, Stu, we're going to have to do like a two-parter because we're running low on time, and we haven't even touched on how we can grow our business like a weed.
Yeah, yeah. Really exciting stuff, too.
What does that mean in the first place? Grow our business like a weed? It doesn't have anything to do with marijuana legalization, right?
No.
I'm just messing.
No, I'll be wrestling that word away from the marijuana industry, I think.
Yes, but, you will.
Well, here's the thing. We all know what it means to grow like a weed. I mean, that's an expression that's known around the world.
Right.
And if we own a business, you just mentioned you started your business a year ago. You want it to grow like a weed. I want mine to grow. We all want our businesses to grow like a weed. We know exactly what that means. And if we don't know what it means, we can just watch, you know, right. We're recording this at the end of November. So the weeds are not active at the moment, but you know, come spring, we'll know exactly. If you don't know what that means, you'll know immediately when you see them in action. So, you know, the thing is, a long time ago, I was driving down the Santa Monica Freeway in LA, and you know, there's six lanes of traffic going this way, and six lanes coming the other direction, and there's like a 40-foot concrete median in the middle. And I noticed in a crack in the median, the concrete in the median, there was a dandelion growing out of the crack, and it was just kind of bouncing around in the smoggy turbulence, and it had its yellow flowers out, and it had that geodesic seed pod out, and it was blowing seeds around, and it looked like it was having fun. What it really looked like was it was out there following its process, and it was happy to do it, and that's pretty darn cool. I saw that, you know, it's like just in an instant, and then you're past it, but I'm just thinking, geez, look at that. You know, how could a plant even grow in the middle of all this, you know, concrete and tires, rushing tires and traffic and so on? How could a plant even grow there? I mean, well, you would think that, but then you also realize, well, it's absolutely natural for us that particularly weeds would be growing out of a crack because they're really special. You know, it's significant that it's not an apple tree or a rose bush or a petunia growing out of that crack, because quite frankly, none of those would make it as a weed. They don't have seeds that are highly mobile, that are their secret weapon. I mean, think about dandelion seeds for a moment. Those seeds fly all over the place, and they explore every possible opportunity to take root in new territory. Isn't that the way? Shouldn't we be like that in our businesses? Well, obviously we should be.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, ever since then, I've been thinking, okay, first of all, I want to live up to that example in my business, but also, what is that example? I mean, like, how are weeds doing this? How do they grow so aggressively? How do they conquer territory so aggressively? And how do they defend it and so on? Well, what are they doing? What are the strategies and attributes and tools that they're using that we could also use in our business? So that's what it's about.
Dang it, Stu. I have like 50 more questions for you, and we're running out of time. Let me give you one general question And you can go as deep or as shallow as you want with it. How do I do that in my business? I mean, my listeners are everything from entrepreneurs to solopreneurs to working for large corporations. Where can I start? How do I become more like a weed?
Well, I'll have some training available as well soon, but here's
show notes for that. Show notes for that.
Cool. That'd be great. But look, here's the thing. So to write the book, I studied all kinds of weeds. I talked to weed scientists. I didn't even know there were there was such a thing, but gardeners people who know a lot about weeds. And then also, all kinds of really interesting people, just a whole spectrum of people in the business community. So billionaires and a lot of business personalities, but then also a lot of experts covering a lot of fields in business. And we looked at, how did you grow your business and how did it fit this model, and discovered that it's kind of like the theory of everything in business and growing a business. It's weird. So here's the thing. Weeds come in all varieties, all shapes and sizes, but they all do the same thing. They all follow the same format. And here it is. They all leverage a fierce mindset and unfair advantages against collective scale. And they do it according to a process that they have honed over millions of years, but it's a living process that also responds to any challenge, any disruption immediately and overcomes it. And all of that, that whole process it's just programmed into their DNA. So there's no training. Like weeds don't have to go through training to run the process. They just run it automatically. And if we could do that, we'd be way ahead in our businesses. So again, it's mindset. It's fierce mindset. It's cultivated unfair advantages, or you could say force multipliers, applied against collective scale and run reduced to a process. And one of the things you mentioned, solopreneurs and small business owners, one of the things that I think all of us have, I'm also a small business owner. One of the things that we all always struggle with is, well, how do we grow it? How do we scale this? And what I found is that the weeds just had all kinds of wisdom and strategy to share with me. And so I looked at three levels of scaling. So there's one-to-one leverage, which is where we are as small business owners and solopreneurs. We're the only force we have, and we're doing everything. And if you think about it, that really slows us. It's good. I mean, entrepreneurs must be very, very self-reliant, but that can also utterly hamstring your attempt to scale anything. Like, you can't scale if you're using one-to-one leverage. So the weeds talk about doing things in collective scale, but there's an intermediate step of multi-channel scale, of creating alliances and getting referral partners and so on. That will grow your business. And then finally creating or reaching collective scale, which is probably something akin to productizing what we do as small business owners, but productizing so that more and more and more people can participate and we don't have to be there. We don't, like, our direct labor doesn't have to be involved. I think that's kind of the big challenge that every one of the people you speak to has. I have it too. And I'm just by reading, well, I wrote the book, but I also had to read it, just by going through that process.
Yes.
Everything I'm doing in business has changed.
Wow. How do I get the book? Comes out in May, right?
Comes out in May. I've got some pre-order links I'll share with you. So you'll have them in the show notes. We've got to wait until May, because this is my seed strategy. That I want it, it's time to coincide with the release of actual weeds across the Northern Hemisphere. So as weeds are coming out in yards near you, everywhere, as they're coming out, I want people to be, I hope what will happen is people will say, oh my God, look, the weeds are coming back. Oh, those weeds. Hey, but wait, there's that book. And I want them to, as they're watching the weeds, because, if we have yards, if any of us have yards, we're contending with weeds. And as we're doing that, I want people to start looking at what they're doing and appreciating what they're seeing, because the weeds, we still have to yank them, but they're lessons about growth and conquering territory, defending their turf and so on. They just have a lot to offer. It's incredible. And I hope what will happen is that just like the books about getting meetings have inspired a lot of people to do their own things, their own campaigns, I hope that this book inspires people to just take their own fresh looks at weeds to say, yeah, but wow, look what they're doing. I mean, like every time I cut down this blackberry bush, it's just immediately running a process again. It just starts over. You know, it's so resilient. I want to be that resilient. You know, it's the weed mindset that's resilient and aggressive and urgent and persistent and even optimistic.
Resilient, you know, like, aggressive, persistent, optimistic, urgent.
Yeah.
What, do I have to pull them, Stu? Do I have to? I was gonna tell my girlfriend, my grandma, and my mom that I'm not pulling weeds ever again because I appreciate them so much. So
no, you still have to pull them. I think, I don't know, I'm gonna be pulling mine, but I'm looking at them. I'm watching what they do, and I see different ones come up. And man, there was one that popped up in my yard last I don't know, summer or something. I noticed it. Like, it was just stealthy. I didn't even know what it was. And it was just, all of a sudden, it was as tall as I am. And wow. And it's got this hollow stem. And you could see it's an annual. Annuals are really an interesting breed because they do everything in a year. Every year, their population dies off. So they're really aggressive. They're really aggressive in their evolution and really aggressive in running a process. They don't have time to waste. And so they get tall. Their seeds are like the wonderful. One of the really cool things about weeds is that they cultivate all these really fascinating unfair advantages. Mm. And a lot of that has to do with the seeds. Like these seeds, some of these seeds can fly hundreds of miles. Isn't that amazing? I mean, can you look, like, you know, when we think about, let's say the venture capital groups in Silicon Valley and New York and so on, a lot of them like to name themselves after great trees, like great oaks and sequoias and so forth. Well, you know what? I have 150 foot tall trees around me. I'm on an island and I'm surrounded by Douglas fir trees. It's like a forest of Douglas firs. Those things get huge. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Their seed pods, the cones, they just drop right at their feet. They don't go anywhere. Right. They don't spread at all. Right. So they don't conquer territory very easily. And meanwhile, weeds have developed seeds that'll travel up to hundreds of miles. Some of the seeding area of some of these weeds can be seen. I mean, like, it's an area so big you can see it from space. It's amazing.
And so
everything they do, they build in unfair advantages. Geez, we should be doing that in our businesses, shouldn't we?
Build in unfair
everything
advantage.
Everything we do should have a built-in unfair advantage. So I'm, as you can probably tell, I'm really excited about weeds. They're pretty cool.
I'm excited too, Stu. I'm looking forward to when that book comes out. Until then, there's Get the Meeting. There's How to Get a Meeting with Anyone. There's the online workshops. I'll let you go in 2 seconds, but I want to do the rapid fire round. I can't let you off the hook. Literally, it's Family Feud. So quick answers, either or, fill in the blank, but it's like, whose line is it anyway? That the points don't matter. They're completely subjective to Stu. So say whatever you like.
And by the way, just so the audience knows, I don't know what these questions are. So I'm going to be fumbling, maybe. I don't know.
They're not crazy.
We haven't rehearsed.
So coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Beer or wine?
You know, actually, I want to go back. Both. Yeah.
Both on both. Hey, you can fill in the blank. You can say whatever you'd like. Yeah. Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Favorite season of the year?
You know, I love to ski, so I would say winter for that. I love the long.
I thought you were going to go with fall for the. I thought you were going to go for the weeds in the spring to the fall.
I was going to say, but springtime has got to be my new favorite. That's springtime. True.
We'll do one more. So, if you could gift, I'll give you up to 3 books. If you could gift 3 books or less, other than your own, what are your go-tos?
Man. You know, one of them is an old book, and I don't think anyone's going to even know this book, but Winning Through Intimidation was just a fascinating book. Anyway, you wanted to be quick, so Winning Through Intimidation.
You can take as much time as you want. It's no big deal. I've never heard of that one. I'm going to write it down.
Oh, by Robert Robert Ringer, and it's a pretty cool book. And then, geez, I've been going through so many books recently. So I'm going to say, like any of Jeb Blount's books, if you want to read about sales and selling, I would say any of Jeb's books, and same with Mark Hunter and Lee Saltz. God, there are a lot of great authors in the sales space. But like I love, for example, Mark Hunter's book, A Mind for Sales, because it's about mindset. I don't know, a lot of this relates to what I've been discovering from Weeds. But if you don't have the right mindset, you're not going anywhere. And another one that I really love, and I got to interview him for my meaning books is Giftology by John Rulin. John's brilliant. He's got a brilliant mind for formulating gifts that make a big difference to the people who receive them. I don't know. Is that enough books?
That's more than enough. Yeah. I took notes here. I'm going to be reading for the next month or two on these ones. Stu's recommendations. Thank you, brother, again for coming on the show. In terms of following up, should I follow you on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, the website? Where is the hot spot that I should start if I want to learn more?
Well, you can connect with me on LinkedIn. That's great. Mention that you saw or heard me with Ben here, and that would be a great entree. You can go to my author site, stuheinek.com, which is probably in the notes. But you know, I want to try something cool here.
Yeah.
So I just got this thing. I just got this card by Vice, spelled V1CE, Vice. And it's this card that, like, I've been discussing a lot with people about business cards. I think they're really interesting. But the Vice card is not one you give out. You just whip it out of your wallet and you tap it on somebody's phone, and it drops it'll open up a page on their phone. They can just accept it, and suddenly it puts you into their address book. And it may also include some links. You can go. So mine does that. Mm-hmm. So if I meet you in person, I'm happy to tap it on your phone, but we have a QR code on the back that'll do the same thing. So I'm going to show you the QR code. And if you scan it, you can connect with me on any of those any of the social channels. You can put me into your book, and you can also get your address book. And you can also get the first two chapters of How to Grow Your Business Like a Weed. So let's see if we can get that to focus. I mean, put it in focus and just scan this on your phone.
You know what's awesome, Stu? So it just worked five times. Now, I've got you on a 30 to 40 inch TV right now. It worked five times in a row for me. So anyone at home, you might have to pause the video, grab another device. If you really want, you can click the link in the show notes, but have a little bit of fun, click rewind, scan that code, and you can get the first two chapters for free. So that's a very special benefit of doing it that way, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
And well, if you're listening to the audio, you really need to watch the video, because there's a lot here that you needed to see to believe.
I think you're right. I think, you know, it's nice of you to listen to the video. Get out of your car, get on your computer or on your phone and watch the whole thing.
Thank you again, Stu. I'm going to try to probably rope you into a round two once the book's launched, because you are a delight. You've been awesome and very, very flexible with your time, and I just really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me on. You know, obviously everyone loves to share their story, but these stories are really important because they help people. Mm. So thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks again for listening to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. You need to go subscribe if you haven't yet. This show is completely free. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right. Thanks once more for listening to LST. I am so grateful. Talk to you soon.